Who are you? When you pass by, will the world ever know you were here? What mark will you leave behind? Each of us has a uniqueness. Each of us has at least one thing we can excel in, and each of us was called, even called from the beginning of things, to do that. So are you fulfilling your call? Do you even know what it is? The only way to pursue that is to seek. And then when you find it, seek to excel. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14:12. We've covered some facets of our theme verse, and now we'll pick up some more. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 12, "Even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual matters, seek that you may excel." Now we've covered being zealous, and we want to be zealous according to knowledge, and we've covered some of the spiritual matters. We'll pick up 1 Corinthians 14 in another session, but I want to go on to the next words in this verse, "Seek that you may excel." Anything that you try in life, the first time you do it, you aren't going to be a virtuoso at it, right? Even your long suits, even manifestations of Holy Spirit, you have the ability, but the first time you do it, are you a virtuoso at it? No. So, we need to seek. We need to seek to excel. Now, if you happen to hit on a long suit, it might be a little bit easier, but still, to excel at anything, it'll take work, and that's why it says to seek. Now, you know, some of us may have a little bit more crust to push up through, you know, when it comes to some of these things, and this is our operative word right here, and that is seek. Seek to excel. So what if you had a little bit more crust to push up through? That's okay. Don't worry about it. The rewards are the great equalizer. Okay, God knows your situation. He knows your heart. He knows what's happened. So don't condemn yourself. Just keep on seeking. Take a look at Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. It's a wonderful set of verses in here. In verse 7, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Every single one of those verbs, ask, seek, and knock, is in the present tense in Greek. So that means keep on asking. If you don't get it right away, just keep on asking. Keep on seeking, you'll find. Keep on knocking until you knock the door down. It'll be open to you. "For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you of whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being carnal, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" So keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Okay. You know, have you ever lost anything? Well, where'd you find it? The last place you looked. Right? So keep on seeking. Keep on seeking. You'll get there. So what if you have a little bit more crust to push up through? Okay, don't worry about it. God will take care of you. You'll be rewarded. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. It's just so simple. Everything in life that's worthwhile, you got to seek for. You got to work for. It doesn't just plop into your lap, does it? You know, verse 6, Hebrews 11, 6, "But without believing, it's impossible to please him, to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that do what? Diligently seek him." We need to diligently seek. But you will be rewarded. So just go ahead. Diligently seek. Take a look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and in verse 6. Talking about God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, they'll get eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil, of the Jew first and to the Gentile. but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. So, who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality. Just keep seeking, keep seeking. James chapter 1 is important to understand. See, we want to be in that aim category, learning and growing and applying and doing, believing. It's just not knowledge for knowledge's sake. It's so we could apply it. Because you know what? Proper practice is what maintains proper doctrine. Because, you know, proper practice, take a look at James. We'll get into that in a second here. James chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, which whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, and slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and abundance of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. See, if you're just a hearer, if you just get all the knowledge, you're actually going to deceive your own self. Because the proper way to maintain doctrine is by proper practice. The doctrine is just like that basketball in your closet. That basketball's up there on the shelf. It looks like a basketball. It's great. It's round. It's brown. It looks like a basketball. You go in the closet. You look up there. Yep, there's my basketball. I know the doctrine. It's there. But after a few years, you take that basketball down and try to use it. What's going to happen? Thud. It's going to have a form of basketball, but not the power thereof. Okay? It's gonna look like the basketball, but it's not gonna have the power. Because that's how you maintain proper doctrine, is by practicing it. By practicing it. It's just not head knowledge. Because what good is the head knowledge if you have no idea on how to apply it? Because if you don't apply it, then you're deceiving your own self. Oh, I got the basketball. I think I know it. But then when it comes time to apply it, thud. Right? Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like to a man beholding his natural face in the glass, and he beholds himself and goes his way and forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, in that in category, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So keep on seeking. You'll get there. Keep on applying. Once we understand what long suits we have and manifestations of Holy Spirit, well, keep seeking. Look for opportunities to apply yourself so you can learn, so you can grow. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Another word uses the word seek. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections, your thoughts, feelings, and desires on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Compared with what you're going to get right now, it ain't nothing. Compared with what you're going to get right now, it ain't nothing. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now put you off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. That means your innermost heart's characterized by mercy, not judgment. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. There's those one another words. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, even so also do ye. You know, that forbearing. I get the mind picture of the shocks of corn in the field in the autumn where they're stacked up, and those shocks of corn help each other stand up. That's my mind picture of forbearing one another. You stand up with one another to hold each other up. Isn't that neat? And above all these things, verse 14, put on the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. God called you to that body, and he's had a long time to prepare for your presence with your long suits and your combination and working all that stuff out. So let it out. Let it shine. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Not just the word dwell in you richly, not knowledge for knowledge's sake, but in all wisdom. All the different kinds of practically applying it under all the circumstances you may find yourself in. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. We can seek. We can put our affection on things that are above. Now, when it says seek to excel, the word excel is really fascinating. It's a wonderful word. It's, in fact, a word that we're very familiar with. The word excel is the word abound, and it is the Greek word perisuo. And it's in a very foundational verse in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 10, a wonderful verse that many of us have heard very often, and it is, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And the word abundantly is perisuo. We can seek to abound. Now this word abound is really neat, because this is the kind of life that Jesus Christ came to make available. But it's much more than we might imagine, because take a look at John chapter 6. God wants us to abound. That's why Jesus Christ came, so that we can have an abundant life. Well, what does it mean to have an abundant life? What does that mean? Well, in John chapter 6 and in verse 11, there's a snapshot of what God thinks abounding is. John chapter 6 and in verse 11. Here is the miracle of the loaves and the fish. And it says, Jesus took the loaves when he had given thanks. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. That phrase, as much as they would, is really neat. Because here's this whole crowd of 5,000 men, not even counting women and children, and Jesus is breaking off the bread and it grows back or whatever, and he breaks off the fish and it grows back or something, because he kept on distributing and it kept on coming. It just kept on coming, and as much as they would. Now, how long did that go? Who energized that miracle? God did. Jesus Christ exercised, God energized, right? So how long did it go? Did it go until everybody had one little morsel? Well, that would have been tremendous, wouldn't it? You know, 5,000 men plus women and children, each having a little morsel. Everybody has to have the same. Nobody else can have too much. No. And it kept on going. Now, it kept on going so that they could have a nice meal, but it kept on going because it says when they were filled. And that word filled is filled according to their appetite. So some people didn't have as much as other people did. Other people had greater need, so they had more. But it kept on going. It kept on going because it says, he said, when they were filled, gather up the fragments that remained, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above them which had eaten. The word over and above is abound. That's the word abound. And the word remain also is abound. This is what God thinks when he says abound. So it's not just enough so that you have your need met. It's not just enough so that everybody generically has the same amount. It's not just enough that you're filled according to your appetite. It's enough that you have more than you need so you can give. That's a snapshot. Every time you pray, that's what's available. That's what's available, as much as they would. Isn't that neat? That's the abundant life. It's really tremendous. God's not stingy. This is the kind of life that Jesus Christ came to make available. But there are other facets to this. Take a look at Luke. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 has an occurrence of this word perisuo. Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. You know, whoever said that the abundant life was material? Whoever said that? He who dies with the most wins. Or something. Whoever said that was all supposed to be, you know, everybody was accumulating all these riches to ourselves? Well, is gain godliness? No. Now, it's nice to have an abundance that is available, definitely, but there's far more. There's far more when it comes to the abundant life. Take a look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also as the free gift, for through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which lambano receive in the manifestation abundance of grace and of the gift of grace shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The abundance that we have available to us enables us to reign in life. It's really tremendous. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians, because this word perisuo is really neat, because you'll get to see two threads intertwining with this word perisuo, because this is the kind of life that Jesus Christ came to make available, and every one of us can have an abundance in many different categories. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 7 lists 6 out of the 7 categories of abundance. It says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in believing and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see also that you abound in this grace also. There are 6 out of the 7 categories of abundance here. Our abundant life is just not material stuff. It's these things. We can abound in believing. There are some people that just abound in believing. They're just rich in believing. And you hang around with them, they're just so inspiring. You know what I mean? They just abound in believing. There are some people that abound in utterance. The word utterance is logos, the word. They have such a wonderful depth of understanding of God's word. It's rich. They abound in that category, and they receive not just enough for them to fill their need, but they have more so that they can give. That's what abundance is. So they abound in that. Then there are some people that abound in knowledge, and the word knowledge is gnosis, which is practical application, knowledge applied. There are just some common sense folks that you just hang around them and they just know right what to do. You know what I mean? They can cut through all the detail and they just know what to do. They have an abundance in that category. Then, in all diligence. Diligence is that word spoudē, which means to apply effort with both reference to time and effort to get it done efficiently. There are believer efficiency experts, okay? Because and usually these people gravitate to leadership positions where they just have a richness in diligence and accurately applying and efficiently applying effort. They just know what to do in a situation. They're wonderful to have around, and they have an abundance in it. Then in your love also, there are people that are just so loving. You just want to hang around with them and be with them all the time because they're just so wonderful. It just flows from them. They just have an abundance of love. And then see that you abound in this grace also. This is giving. It, of course, in this context, it's talking about financial giving, but it's also talking about material giving. And there are some people that are just blessed with material abundance. And they have the wonderful heart to give of it. Now, if you go to Romans chapter 15, verse 13, there's another category of abundance. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, we'll go back over these in a second. Romans 15 and 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope." There are some people that just abound in hope. They're just so encouraging, even in the darkest of situations. They just have so much hope. And, of course, that talks about future rewards. There are some of you that have a great big thing waiting for you. You're just abounding in hope. You have such wonderful rewards waiting for you. So our abundant life consists far more in these riches from God than in just material stuff. And we can abound in every single one of these categories. Now, what's really interesting is if you trace the word abound through the Bible, you'll see that the word abound occurs with every one of these seven categories in other scriptures. It's sort of like a signal. It's sort of like a signpost that gets your attention. And also there's another word which means to be enriched. The Greek word is plutizo. And plutizo and perisuo intertwine. So take a look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And in verse 5. "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in believing and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" The word rich is plutizo. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Actually, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. "That in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge." Here the word enriched is plutizo. And in all utterance, that's the word logos. And in all knowledge, that's the word gnosis. So here are two categories of abundance. Another one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We can abound in knowledge, we can abound in the word and knowledge applied, we can abound in efficiency. And that's where, you know, you have that those believer efficiency experts, I call them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 17, it has an occurrence of this. 1 Thessalonians 2, 17. "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored, spoudazo, the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." And who is it talking about? It's talking about the leaders, Paul and Silas and Timothy. They were endeavoring more abundantly. Take a look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Philippians chapter 1. The syllabus has more information on this that you can follow up in your personal study and see how this all fits. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. So here you have abound in the same verse with love and knowledge. There's two of those seven categories of abundance. And every one of us has the ability to abound in every one of these things. This is our abundant life. This is our abundant life. But you see, back there in 2 Corinthians, it says, see to it that you abound in this grace also. And it's really neat because, you know, our ministries in the body, that phrase, the grace given unto me or the grace given unto you, that's talking about our horizontal ministry, but it refers to it as the grace. Why? Because we're supposed to give forth of it with the same divine favor that God graced us with. It's not I love you if or I'll love you when. It's you give forth of your riches liberally without ulterior motive. We're in a body. Do the cells in the body share? Do they keep anything back? No. See, we're part of a body. So that's why all of these wonderful things that we have, we can share. That's why we have them. Not so we can be so loving and hold it all into ourselves, or so we can be so knowledgeable, or we can have so much common sense. No, we have that. Why? Why did God give that to us? The snapshot is so that we can have enough to fulfill our need, but even more than that, we have enough to give. See, that's why we have the abundant life. It's not just in physical things, it's in all these other wonderful categories of life. But what's really neat is that everything we do in the body has a horizontal component and a vertical component. We receive these from God vertically. Why? So we can have them to share horizontally. That's why we have all this richness. That's what fellowship is all about. It's a full sharing of what? What we've got. And look what we've got. We've got believing. We've got the word. We've got practical understanding. We've got diligence. We've got love. We've got grace. We've got hope. Look at all those wonderful things you can share. That's what fellowship is all about. Those are all the riches that we've received. Now, what's really neat is in the word there is an advanced category of this kind of richness and this kind of abundance. Because see, it said in 1 Corinthians 13 that now abideth faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is the love of God. The greatest of these is the love of God. Well, why is that? Because love is the great model. See, we love God because He first loved us, right? So what happens is that God loves us vertically, and then we love one another horizontally with the same love wherewith we are loved, right? So love is the great model for all the other wonderful things we receive from God. So grace. We receive grace from God vertically. What do? We hold it forth horizontally. We receive peace from God vertically. What do? We hold it forth horizontally and have peace one with another. All the great things that God is to us, we can be to one another because we all have a horizontal component and a vertical component. We're not just individuals, we're part of a body. We have a collective part. That's why the greatest of all these is charity, the love of God. And these great riches that we have, why do we have them? We have them so we can hold them forth horizontally. See, isn't that wonderful? Every one of us ought to hold forth and share of the wonderful things that God has graced us with. And in fact, our ministry, it refers to it, the grace that's given unto me or you. Why? Because we're supposed to hold it forth with that divine favor that God's graced us with. But some people will be more adept at holding forth what God has given to them. And as they keep on giving, God gives them more. And when they have more, they give more. When God gives them more, they have more and they give more. The whole law of giving and receiving clicks in. And pretty soon they become points of supply in the body. And that's a great word, which is the word epikorageo. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 16. This is that one wonderful verse about the body in action. And it says in verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. You know, and when I finally figured out this verse, I was asking myself, well, how does a joint supply? Looking at a joint in the body, how does a joint supply? But when you look at it, when you understand it, there are pivotal people in the body of Christ, and what they do, they become points of supply. And this word supply is wonderful. It's the word epikorageo. There's also a verb, korageo. And originally, back in ancient Greece, a koregos was the manager of a chorus. That's what we get the word chorus from, this word korageo. And the choregos was the manager of the chorus, or a theatrical troupe, and he was charged with managing the troupe and seeing that everything was provisioned so that the show could go on the road. In other words, they had to supply everything that was necessary to put the show on the road. So there's a vast amount of stuff that needs to be supplied to take care of all that. And of course, also the other part of it was you had the stars of the show, you had the soloists in the chorus, or you had the actors, the actresses in the theatrical troupe. And you know, sometimes some of those people are kind of cantankerous. They're kind of idiosyncratic. Because you know what? They have to be on the stage and they have to give their best performance right then. And that takes a lot of mental discipline. So sometimes before the show they can be kind of cranky, right? And or they can have other things in their life going on. Well, this manager knows them so well, he knows what to do to bring out the best in them at the time that it needs to be brought out. So he delivers the dozen roses at the right time and all this other stuff so that they can bring out their best. That's what a choregos was. They supplied everything that was necessary to put the show on the road. So there are pivotal people in the body of Christ that what they do is they supply, they provide this varied, full supply necessary to the body. How do they get there? Well, they're people who become adept at sharing what God has given to them. That's how people ultimately get to be a pivotal person in the body. That's how it works. And every one of us has riches, but some people are just so gracious at sharing what God has given to them that God gives them more and they give more and God gives them more and they give more, and that whole cycle of giving and receiving starts moving. And then they ultimately get to a place where they are supplying the body. And what does that do? That attracts people because you get blessed. Do you hang around where you are not getting blessed? Do you hang out where people beat on you all the time? Do you? No. You hang out where you get blessed, right? Okay, so that's what unifies, because it says here that the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every pivotal person supplies. So it's compacted, it's unified. People are attracted to this supply. Isn't that something? Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We'll take a look at some of the occurrences of this word epikorageo and the word korageo. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Here, the word ministereth is epikorageo, and the word minister is korageo. Now, this verse is really neat because it says, minister seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown. This seems to echo back to Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah 55. because this is really neat to see. Because the things that come from God are profitable. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. It says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." See, the word that comes forth, it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. When things come from God, they're profitable, and they're profitable not only immediately, but ultimately. So you have the immediate profit, bread to the eater. You have ultimate profit, seed to the sower. The seed to the sower just keeps going on and on and on and on. Isn't that wonderful? And see, those are the things that come from God. They're profitable. And these people who are the suppliers, God just gives them just gobs of stuff to share with the body, and people get so blessed, and it will profit immediately and ultimately. It'll be like it said back here in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, "Now he that ministers seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown." This is the character of what comes from the pivotal people in the body who supply. Well, how'd they get there? Because they got really good at sharing forth of the abundance that God had given to them. And that law of giving and receiving kicked in, and man, they just became supplies, points of supply. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 is another occurrence of this word. "He therefore that supplies, that ministers to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" See, these people who get to be these points of supply in the body, they don't need to commend themselves. They don't need to say, "Look how important I am." God does it for them. He confirms their ministries with miracles. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. Here's another parallel verse to Ephesians 4, 16. Colossians chapter 2, and in verse 19, "And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." The word ministered is epikorgao. And here you have joint people and you have band people in the body. Joint people are pivotal people. Band people are people who tie it all together. You have these communicators, you have these unifiers. People just carry the message and unify. That's what they do. That's what their function is. So you have joint people and you have band people. And what do? They supply. They, having nourishment, ministered. Let's read that again. "Not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God." So you can see how these joint people and these band people, epikorgao, nourishment to the body. They supply. They're points of supply. God gives them this wonderful stuff, and they're just so blessed, and they give it out. They become so adept at giving that God keeps on giving them more and more and more. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 3, here is a snapshot of how versatile the supply is. 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness," everything we need for a wonderful life and everything we need for a real, true, vital, spiritual relationship with God, "through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, epikorageo, supply to your believing virtue. Now look at all the list, the varied supply, all the wonderful parts. Add, supply, epikorageo, to your believing virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to the knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to the godliness, the brotherly kindness, which is phileo, and to brotherly kindness, agapao, the love of God. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, you want to tie yourself into somebody who's supplying, right? You want to get all this stuff, right? Don't you want to be fruitful? Sure. So you find somebody who's supplying all this wonderful stuff, and you ally yourself with functioning ministers so you can get the benefit that comes from that and from no other place. Verse 9, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And then, verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 11 has epikorageo in it, where you're going to get supplied when you get rewarded. It says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. They say your name. You know, and the crowd just shouts with joy, and the next word you hear is not next. Okay? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Wow, if you add all those things to you, that believing and diligence and virtue and knowledge and temperance and self-control and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and agapao, you see how it all builds? That's what supply is. It's varied. It's full. And so when people are pivotal, that's the kind of stuff that they supply in the body. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4. If you want to decoupage a verse, you can decoupage this one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And this is just so chocked full of stuff. It says, as every man hath lambanoed the gift, even so minister the same one to another. There's that one another word. Even so minister the same. Well, how have you received the gift? Freely, right? Well then, freely minister, serve the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as with the ability, the endowment, which God supplies. And the word supply is epikorgeo. This endowment is like the Christ in you, strength, the ability. Let him do it as of the ability which God supplies, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Look at that wonderful picture of how we can all work with one another. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the endowment which God epikorageos. So there are people in the body who become pivotal because they're so good at sharing the wonderful things that God has given to us. But all of us have riches. All of us have wonderful things that God has given to us. And like I said, love is the great model. God loved us, and then we love one another. So we have that vertical, we receive from God, and then we give forth horizontally with the same grace that God has graced us with. It's real interesting to see that there are two forms of grace. There is vertical grace, and there's horizontal grace. Just like there's vertical love and there's horizontal love. Because one of the occurrences of agapao is the love of God. That's vertical. Then one of the other ones is our response to it. That's horizontal. And it goes back up vertical too. But we love one another with the same love wherewith we are loved. Grace has the same thing. There's vertical grace and there's horizontal grace. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians. Love's the great model. All the things that we receive from God, we can share forth with one another with the same wonderful grace that we received them with. Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. That's vertical grace. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show forth the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Boy, that grace is wonderful, isn't it? Did we deserve it? No, it's not I love you if, or I'll love you when. It's I love you, I've decided to love you, and there's nothing you can do to make me stop. Okay, so anyway, God loved us and he endowed us with so many wonderful things. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. It's going to take ages. It's going to take that long to see it all. Behind curtain 1,542,243 is... It's going to take ages. That's how big that grace is. That's vertical grace. Isn't that neat? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, has both vertical grace and horizontal grace in it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. It says, But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. The first two are vertical. The third one is horizontal. Isn't that neat? But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. This is actually another occurrence of the grace that was given unto me, except the word bestowed is not in the text, so I didn't count it, but it's parallel, isn't it? His grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. God invested that grace in him. And it says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. That fits with the effectual working of his power, right? That's how Paul got to the place where he was the apostle to the Gentiles, because he effectually worked his power. You can take your ministry according to the proportion of your believing. The sky is the limit. So that's how he got to be where he got. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. And that's horizontal grace. Now, you know, it's really interesting, because sometimes you're in an area and you have these wonderful ministries that you're working so hard, but sometimes you just don't have enough people in your little fellowship for everyone to have their ministries go full bloom. So what do? Well, you keep on working. God will reward you. But you know, if that thing takes off, then you may have people who didn't even know that they had abilities. Suddenly, God will energize it in them, because that energization happens not only because of believing, but it happens because of need. I get the picture of the eggs in a woman's ovary. How many eggs are in there? Millions of them. Will she ever use them? No. But that's a picture of the body. There are people all over the place that have these little ministries waiting to pop up, waiting to grow. And if the need is there, they rise up. So just because you're in an area that's kind of a small work and you're trying to do the word and all this other stuff, well, don't worry if your ministry doesn't fire off, if there's no need. Just keep on being faithful. God will reward you. That reward is going to be the great equalizer. But if the work takes off, then boom. Or if somebody leaves, then boom. Somebody will rise up and take their place. Because we all have Christ in us, don't we? We all can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, can't we? So if we walk in love, then the need will be supplied. Isn't that wonderful? It's just great to see all this stuff. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Here is a wonderful picture of grace, the horizontal kind of grace. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Heirs together of the grace of life. This is horizontal grace, where the spouses hold forth to each other with the same undeserved favor that God has graced them with. It's not, I'll love you if, or I love you because. It's not that. It's undeserved. It's favor. Being heirs together of the grace of life. That your prayers be not hindered. Because you're a mighty team. You and your husband or you and your wife. It's just tremendous what power is there. Well, have that divine favor amongst yourselves. That horizontal grace so that your believing doesn't get hindered. You understand what I'm saying? It's just a wonderful picture of that. You just love each other with that same favor that God has loved you with, and you don't quit. You just don't quit. Take a look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians chapter 4. We all have wonderful things that God has given to us that we can hold forth to each other with the same divine favor that God has favored us with. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, and let your speech be always with grace. That doesn't mean that you need to have forgiveness all the time for what you just said. No, this is horizontal grace, favor. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So all these wonderful things that God has given to us, we can be to one another and hold forth with the same grace that God has graced us with and loves the great model. It works for everything else. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean he breaks fellowship all the time because he then can need the grace. No. That means be strong in the grace that was given unto him. Kindle your ministry. Fire up your ministry is what he's saying. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. See, it keeps on going and going and going then. You get the immediate profit and the ultimate profit. Ephesians 4, verse 7. Another one. It says, but to every one of us is given grace. And that's what this is. That's that horizontal ministry. God gave it to us vertically and we can hold it forth horizontally. Philippians 1:7. This is neat. Philippians chapter 1 verse 7. Here's a picture. Earlier I told you about intercession where you picture, you watch thereunto with all perseverance, right? Well, what do you see when you watch thereunto? Well, what you do is you don't see the negative situation, you see the positive situation. And here's an example of that. in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Well, Philippians is a reproof epistle, right? They were out of fellowship. They needed the word, right? They were not practicing the word properly. Well, he's saying, for your fellowship. Isn't that something? He had that positive mind picture. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is appropriate for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both as in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of what? My grace. See the horizontal grace? So that's how all these things work. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You can see how everyone's ministries were firing off and all working together, because this is where the apostles had taken the lead, and finally all the believers caught on and they started acting too, and great grace was upon them all. So let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. We'll read this once more. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, we need to seek to excel. We seek because we keep on believing, keep on applying, and we seek to excel. We seek to abound. And the manifestations of interpretation and prophecy show the way, because they're designed for what? To horizontally bless the believers. God committed two whole manifestations just to that. What do you think he thinks about that? So that leads the way as we grow in this level of our lives at this point, in this intermediate level, so that we can turn our focus away from ourselves individually and look to one another horizontally to bless and edify one another with the same grace wherewith God has graced us with.